Today's presentation, I'd like to cover three things: a little bit about Webjet for those who are not familiar with us, how we stack up, so how we benchmark ourselves, and then what technology does for us. So a little bit about us. We listed in 2000, which as a feat of timing. We happened to list at the exact time of the internet crash, so we went through some hard times. So we've spent 5 years of learning how to do it right by doing it wrong, and it's taken 5 years to reach a maiden profit in 2004-05. I guess one of the turning points for the company was we used a number of other people's technologies and decided in 2003 to build our own travel service aggregator, the TSA, and we did that. We act as, I guess, the project manager within Webjet, and had Microsoft build it with funding and services from Sendent, which is, you may know as Galileo. Sendent's one of the largest travel service providers in the world. Our sales since we launched the technology have increased eightfold, from 20 million to 160 million in 2 years. And we have about 27 people that would do the job of a normal agency of 150 people. And just to give you an idea of why people go to Webjet, you get a full choice of flight time and price options. And I guess different from a normal travel agency or even an airline. See, an airline's motivated to sell you the highest price at any point in time. And traditionally, and it's collapsing now, but traditionally they would only tell you the fare for the question you asked. So if you said, I'm going at 6 o'clock on Thursday, they gave you the 6 o'clock fare on Thursday. They didn't tell you that at 7 o'clock it was $100 cheaper. Now, that's changed. Travel agencies have been motivated on commission based on an air ticket value, so they're motivated to sell you the highest price ticket at that point in time because that's how they get their money. We don't care. We'll sell you a ticket for a dollar. That's in your best interest. So we show the full range of price and flight choices and availability at that point in time. We're different from other sites where we only show you a fare if you can book it. I guess the model's a bit out of date now, but there are a number of what we call click-to-call operators that will show the whole prices, but that you can't book with them. You get on the phone, and the $1,000 fare suddenly magically becomes $1,700. We don't do that. One of the phenomena recently is that people will book one way on Qantas and come back on Virgin Blue. And what they'll do, and I'll show you a screenshot in a minute, when you see all your flight choices, you'll go, oh, that's interesting. I can get that fare coming back on Virgin Blue half an hour earlier, and I can save $100. We actually, and this comes in the technology part, we actually don't want to talk to our customers. Our view of life is that if we talk to a customer, something's gone wrong. So, but we constantly survey our customer base and see how we're going on phone, email, or any interaction, and I'll show you some of those results. The other thing we do is, and there's an industry term, so-called dynamic packaging, but we allow for any customer that wants to book their car, hotel, and flights all in the one transaction. And we also have what we call a seat price guarantee. So if you come in and look at flights, and we've gone and got those seats for you at that point in time, we'll hold those flights for 30 minutes for you. And you'll know what I mean if you've ever been to an airline site where you've actually gone and looked at a flight, gone and got a coffee, gone and talked to someone, gone and ring up your partner and say, is that flight okay? And you've gone back to try and book it and it's gone. We don't do that. We hold it. And if it costs us to sort that out later on, that's the cost of doing business from our point of view. So that's why people go to Webjet. That's what the screen looks like. So you can see there across the top are all the carriers, and down the left-hand side are all the times of the day. It's a bit out of focus there, but what you can basically do is say, well, you know what? I want to go at 11 o'clock, and there's a fare for me, and then coming back I'll go at 4 o'clock, and there's a fare, and it adds the two together. It doesn't matter what carrier you use. And then for cars, again, similar sort of matrix where you have the car providers across the top, and down the side is the size of the car, so small, medium, etc. And it will work out the number of days you're away, and it'll actually do a pricing for you. So that's Webjet. And then if we move on to the sort of how do we stack up section, what we do is a lot of benchmarking between us and our industry peers. So here's Here's a fairly stark model of how we stack up against Flight Centre. And I'll say at the onset that we think Flight Centre is a fantastic company. We think they're probably the best travel retailer in the world. But if you look at the way they're modelled, they earn, if you look at the total of those two bars, they earn about 13% of their sales. That's their income percentage. And their cost base is about 11.5%, so they take out as in their profit 1.5%. So remember, 13%, less 11.5%, 1.5%. We view ourselves as a low-cost provider in a low-cost airline world, so our income at the moment is about 7%, primarily domestic, and our cost base is about 5%. So earn 7, take out 5, we're making 2%. What's interesting about this is, and you would have read in the press, there's lots of pressure from airlines to recover agency commissions and put downward pressure on them. It's pretty tough if your cost base is 11.5% to take any downward pressure, and that's been the problem with the Flight Centre share prices. And we think they'll actually do pretty well, and we think that they'll maintain as much as anyone that position. But from our perspective, it's much easier to go up from 7 to something than it is to be forced down from 13 to something. And then what we do is, there's an old industry sort of benchmark where if you walk past a travel agency and it has three people in it, you know it roughly does $2.5 to $3 million of turnover, of gross sales. So what we do is we measure, and we look at this when people do come across to us and say, well, look, are you interested in buying us or acquiring us or whatever? The first thing we do is just look at it and say, well, how do you stack up in terms of efficiency? What's your sales and how many people do you have? And most of them come out as a number of one or less, so $1 million per person. So if I look here, and these are publicly available figures, if I compare 2005 for the first half of 2006, and I look at Flight Centre as the middle one and Transonic as the one on the far right, you can see that they're roughly $1 million per person, and they're not changing. From our perspective, we do about $4 million a person, and in the first half of 2006, moved that up to nearly 6. So you can see that with scale, our efficiency improves. So that's how we benchmark ourselves. And when we compare ourselves internationally against the Expedias and Travelocities, they come in around 4. And the reason they come in around 4 is that they actually have big banks of hotel purchasing or negotiating teams. That's a very important number for us. And so anything we look at, if it doesn't come up with a sort of number like that or a number that we can put in like that, we're not interested. And then if we look at actually what's happened in the 2005 to the first half of 2006, we've actually been able to take that 5% cost base and drop it down to 4%. So significant improvement with scale. That's at the same time we've taken our marketing spend. We spend about 1% of our total turnover on marketing. We've taken our marketing spend from 1% to 1.25% and shortly to 1.5%. So as scale builds, as our cost drops, we're reinvesting that spend into marketing. And thankfully, our profit margin improved too. So, and this is in a period where there's been dramatic changes to the travel industry. Imagine your business in a year if you're primary income stream that delivered about 80% of your income was taken from 5 to 1 to nothing. So we've introduced service fees and it's been very, very quickly accepted by a customer base. So, as we say to our the investment community, you might not have seen it in the results, but this has been a really tough year for us. We've had to transition completely our model and it's worked successfully. And because this technology works, and this is what our customer base says to us in July 2005 and November 2005, that something like 89% rated our technology as good or excellent. We constantly look at those sort of things, and I guess that's a feature of any business, but it's really easy to do online. For about $20 a month, you can use services that allow you to constantly survey your customer base. And this is, I guess, fundamental to sort of our cost structures is that most of our customers don't contact us. Something like 2/3 we don't talk to. We do not have any pre-sales activity. We don't quote. We won't recommend a fare. We won't do any of that. That's our model. It's surprising that customers actually like that. They like to self-serve. They like to go in and just operate it themselves. And we only have a service centre of people for any post-sales activity or training. If someone can't do something on the phone, obviously we'll take them through it. But if they want to make a change, or for some reason there's a problem with a flight or a schedule change or something, all those post-sale activities, we clearly talk to people, but we won't. And we've been very strict on this. We will not set up any traditional travel agency services. We can't see how you make money. So in terms of how people react with us, you can see there that something like 60% have never spoken to us, 80% haven't gone on to chat, and 50% haven't emailed us. That's a fundamental structure to our business. So we won't pre-sell. We do other sales activity, but it's all automated, so we're very active in the online search market. But you can measure that, and you can put that, that is doing the sales for you, because the interesting thing about the Googles and Yahoos of the world is that, and it's a lovely phrase, that that you're seeing the database of intentions. When someone goes in there and says, I want a cheap flight to Sydney, they're telling you what they want. So you just deliver them back to them what they want. So we've been very successful in that area, and we're just complementing that with TV at the moment, so we build our brand. So the sort of things, I didn't have time, but I thought this slide could have been put in another way, which is if you imagine your organisational chart and the various functions that exist on that, then start taking them away. We have no debtors or creditors. The way we transact is that when the customer comes on board, we debit their credit card and we credit the airline. So when they see their credit card statement, they'll see Qantas or Virgin Blue or whoever it may be appear on their statement. What that does for us is have no debtors or creditors and no credit card fees either. So, but you can imagine there's a whole slab of the business taken out because we do that. Now, we get commission and other things back from the airlines. There's a little bit of follow-up there, but it's a fundamental principle. Our competitors don't do that. Our competitors debit the cardholder credit themselves and then have to pay the airline or pay the provider later on. And as CFO, I love that. It's fantastic. So we have no shops, no quoting, no Salesforce, and no office hours. So again, if you imagine all the structures that go around that, we don't have them. And this one's pretty important. There's no transposition or keying errors. And I saw a number recently that said that 5% of transactions in a normal business relate to this area. But the sort of 20% of costs relate to this area. So when something goes wrong because someone misinterpreted something, someone took something from this system to put it in that system and they miskeyed it, and there was all sorts of customer issues with the wrong product was supplied or the wrong invoice went out or whatever took place, it's very costly. We don't have that. The whole transaction is electronic all the way, back to the customer in terms of the invoice delivery, through to the airline in terms of the booking and the money. So we don't have any of those costs. We have no inventory. We have no purchasing. So, I mean, it's not unusual in the travel game where you actually go through to the airlines or the hotels or the car companies. They hold the seats. But we don't have... We sell hotels and we sell cars. We don't have anybody negotiating those. We've, in one sense, outsourced it. We're a member of the Harvey World Buying Group, so in effect, they do the purchasing, the bulk purchasing. In terms of all our inventory, we won't sell it to you unless it's available, but we go and talk through XML connections direct to the provider. So on the airline side, we'll talk through to Galileo for the bulk of the airlines or directly through to Virgin Blue or Jetstar. For the car companies, through to Galileo, again, which you've aggregated all the car companies. And for hotels, we'll go through to players like... Hotel Club, their last-minute product. We'll go through to Australian Outback Travel, who's now the second-largest purchaser of hotel rooms in the country, or WorldRes on a global basis. So we effectively go through to hotel banks on the same basis, get the room and pay them at that time. This is an interesting one. There's no delivery, except where there's no... well, 50% of all tickets are now e-tickets, and obviously all domestic ones are e-tickets, but with the exception of some international paper tickets, we don't have to deliver any product. That's great because, again, there's no cost. If you lose a paper ticket, and if you've ever been through it, you've got to sign your life away and to get another one. It's very costly. It's very cumbersome. The other thing which is interesting in our business, and I listened with interest, you're in 7 countries. We're in about 25 countries. We have no offices. We have no people. We have no nothing. What we do is we basically promote Australia for flights, car, and hotels on an inbound basis on the search engines. And we sort of have a bit of amusement in the office where we say, well, look, why don't we open in South Africa today? It's as easy as that. And what you can then do is sort of almost backward justify entering into another country, because if you get sales, remember this, and this is the interesting thing about the internet, people think you have to have a brand. That's partly true. I'd actually argue that you have to have functionality, and functionality is the brand. We are in, and we make significant sales in the UK, US, Canada, New Zealand, and they don't know us from a bar of soap. Who's Webjet? We don't know them. They find us on search engines. They come through and they buy off us, unknown. And they buy because of the functionality, which is in some sense surprised us. But what it's allowed us to do is now look at those markets and say, you know what if we ramp things up there a little bit? And kept ramping them, it actually justifies further investment because you've already got, sales coming through on a variable cost basis. So it's a great model for us. So you can imagine in your businesses, if you considered opening in New Zealand or Singapore or the States, it's a big undertaking. For us, it's not. And then this is just a snapshot of... when we launched the TSA in the first half of 2004, you can see we were sort of travelling flat prior to that. We've had tremendous take-up with the sales effectively going up fourfold last year, and they'll double this year. And who knows? And I guess our business model also has been that we have taken the view that to transact with the customer, you have to get their confidence. So the majority of our transactions have been domestic sales, where someone flying Melbourne to Sydney 4 or 5 times a year will then have the confidence to buy a few internationally. We don't think people will generally go online to buy an international fare straight off the bat, although having said that, they do. We thought people would only buy point-to-point, so Melbourne-Singapore return. You'd be surprised. The sort of... Best Buy technology that Galileo has is incredible. There was one, and this is not unusual, there's 2 or 3 of these a day, but there was one a couple of days ago that did an itinerary something like Sydney, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, New York, Montevideo, Buenos Aires, Auckland, Sydney. Self-service, best price. It's astounding. But you can do that online. And the great thing about it is we only show it for seats there. So it's not like going to your travel agency, and we get a lot of feedback about the traditional methods. And remember, they're motivated by selling you the highest price they can. When you go in and the board outside or the advertisement or whatever says $1,000, and hey, presto, you walk out and it's $1,700. How did that happen? And so then... the sort of results are flowing through, and this is the sort of the scale results. So we've doubled sales on the top line there, and my revenue is up 136%. Expenses have obviously travelled with that. A lot of that's marketing. We've had a big increase in net profit and earnings per share, and that sort of that flows through now. So we don't forecast our results, but we I won't say anything more than that. But we did announce our sales for the third quarter yesterday, and there. They were 45 million, so we're well on track to do 160 million plus this year, which will be double last year. That's Webjet. Thank you.